You're listening to Cross the Border. That's the name of this broadcast. I'm Nicholas, and we're going through the Bible here, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, one book at a time. That's usually what we do. We're in Ezekiel. We've got to chapter 18 and verse 1, very applicable to anyone at any time, especially the land where I live today, with when we see great changes and coming upon the land and the government and the monetary, the financial situation. The feeling is that judgment is coming, the sword, famine, pestilence. Ezekiel, receiving the word of the Lord, comes to him. And we left off here in chapter 18, verse 4. Behold, all souls are mine, as the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. And the soul that sinneth, it shall die. But, and I like the but if a man be just, and do that which is lawful and right, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. But you can repent. But if a man be just, and do that which is lawful and right, and what does the lawful mean? According to who? According to what law? The laws of the state of whatever state you're in? The laws of the United States of America? I think not. I think this is definitely, when we say lawful here, we're talking about the laws of our Heavenly Father. Those laws and commandments and statutes that are applicable to every one of us that He gives us in His Word. No, the law is not nailed to the cross, because then you are lawless. How can you be lawful and lawless at the same time? But if a man be just and do that which is lawful and right, and hath not eaten upon the mountains, that means you haven't worshipped idols in their high places, neither hath lifted up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, neither hath defiled his neighbor's wife, neither hath come near to a minstrous woman, and has not oppressed any, but hath restored to the debtor his pledge, has spoiled none by violence, hath given his bread to the hungry, and hath covered the naked with a garment. He that hath not given forth usury, neither hath taken any increase by usury. He that hath withdrawn his hand from iniquity, hath executed true judgment between man and man, hath walked in my statutes, and hath kept my judgments, to deal truly, he is just, and shall surely live. He shall surely live, saith Adonai Yahuwah, saith, in the Authorized King James Version, the Lord God. Now those are words that I love to hear. They give us hope. They show us a path of mercy. This is the path that walks in His kingdom. This is a path that you can only do voluntarily. You know, this, our life is a trial and a judgment, and full of tribulations. The trial is set. The observers are sitting in the stands, and the play is on. And everything you do is your judgment. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. You sin, and you continue in your sin, you will die. If you repent, however, but if a man be just and do that which is lawful and right, you don't worship idols. You withdraw from those things. You don't commit adultery. You don't oppress any, but hath restored to the debtor his pledge. Yes, you pay your debts. You don't defraud your neighbor. And one of the largest defraudings going on out here is this of Satan's monetary system, where you give a pledge, first they rob you through deceit, and then they loan you what they robbed you of, that note that creates money in their monetary system, Satan's monetary system. So if you borrow something from your neighbor, you repay it. You don't oppress any. They're around me. They're oppressing me as best as they can today, these wicked people out here, covered the naked with a garment. Give bread to the hungry, doesn't put forth money upon usury, neither hath taken any increase. And that, you know, that can be the way we would operate that today, taking an increase, is participating in the government theft from your neighbor and receiving stolen funds through their welfare and insurance schemes, taking no increase. Withdrawn your hand from iniquity. You know what? There's a recognition right there. You may be in it, but are you with you withdrawing your hand from it? That's called repentance, when you withdraw your hand from it and hath executed true judgment between man and man. That means you know, as the proverb says, whoever judges a matter before he hears both sides is a fool. You execute true judgment. You hear both sides, and then you make a true decision according to what our Heavenly Father says is right and true and just and according to His laws. He hath walked in my statutes and kept my judgments to deal truly. He is just. We are justified by Him when we repent and live godly. He shall surely live, saith the Lord God. And that's where I want to be, walking in His kingdom. If he beget a son that is a robber, a shedder of blood, and that doeth the like to any one of these things, and that doeth not any of those duties, but even hath eaten upon the mountains and defiled his neighbor's wife, hath oppressed the poor and the needy, hath spoiled by violence, hath not restored the pledge, hath lifted up his eyes to idols, hath committed abomination, hath given forth upon usury, and hath taken increase, shall he then live? He shall not live. He hath done all these abominations. He shall surely die. His blood shall be upon him. Now lo, if he beget a son that seeth all his father's sins which he hath done, and considereth, and doeth not such like, that hath not eaten upon the mountains, neither hath lifted up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, hath not defiled his neighbor's wife, neither hath oppressed any, hath not withheld the pledge, neither hath spoiled by violence, but hath given his bread to the hungry, and hath covered the naked with a garment, that hath taken off his hand from the poor, and that hath received usury, hath executed and hath not received usury, nor increase, hath executed my judgments, hath walked in my statutes, he shall not die for the iniquity of his father. He shall surely live. Every man accountable to the Heavenly Father. Every man receiving an opportunity to repent and enter into his kingdom and allow him to be the king of their lives. As for his father, because he cruelly oppressed, spoiled his brother by violence, and did that which and spoiled his brother by violence, that's what it is. That's what this whole socialist security insurance scheme is. You spoil your brother by violence. Yes, the government comes with a sword and spoils your brother by violence. Fear of the sword, fear of the gun of the state. The same sin in Sodom. It says, for as spoiled his brother by violence, we're in chapter 18, verse 18, for all of those that are looking for your place, and did that which was not good among his people, lo, even he shall die in his iniquity. Yet say ye, why doth not the son bear the iniquity of the father? When the Son hath done that which is lawful and right, and hath kept all my statutes, and hath done them, he shall surely live. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The Son shall not bear the iniquity of the Father, neither shall the Father bear the iniquity of the Son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him. Hallelujah. And the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. But if the wicked will turn from all his sins that he hath committed, and keep all my statutes, and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live. He shall not die. You know, isn't this the gospel? Isn't this the good news, people? And it's only because of what the Messiah did. Certainly they were looking forward then. And we look back on what he did now, but it's the same salvation then as now. It's the same salvation, the same Messiah, the same Lamb of God that was slain from the foundation of the world, that allowed people to turn from their wicked ways and receive the mercy and forgiveness of sins. But if the wicked will turn from all his sins that he hath committed and keep all my statutes, yes, that's the process. When the Holy Spirit convicts you of sin, and then you start turning from all your wicked ways. He starts with the biggest, that biggest thing that's separating you from the Almighty, and you start turning from all your wicked ways. And you do that for the rest of your life. Yeah, can you endure that until he comes, or until you go to him, until your mortality ends? Then you will be saved. I love it. I love reading it. But if the wicked will turn from all his sins that he has committed and keep all my statutes and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live. He shall not die. All his transgressions that he hath committed, they shall not be mentioned unto him. And I say it, hallelujah, again. I love the gospel, and this is it. This is the good news. All his transgressions that he hath committed, they shall not be mentioned unto him. In his righteousness that he hath done, he shall live. So do righteousness, and in that righteousness you shall live. All your transgressions that you have committed, they will not be mentioned. In the righteousness that you have done, you shall live. Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, saith Adonai Yahweh, and not that he should return from his ways? He has no pleasure in the wicked that do not turn from their wickedness. Oh, he has great pleasure when the wicked turn from their wickedness and turn to righteousness. But when the righteous, it will continue. Have I any pleasure at all? Verse 23. That the wicked should die, saith the Lord, and not that he should return from his ways and live. But when the righteous turneth away from his righteousness and committeth iniquity and doeth according to all abominations that the wicked man doeth, shall he live? No. See, there's another fallacy we need to tear down. That once saved, always saved. To first the law is nails of the cross. And once saved, always saved. Oh, you know, those kind of just fit together hand in hand, don't they? First, you don't have to keep the law. And because the law is nailed to the cross, you're not required to keep it, you know, to follow it. Then you're once saved, always saved. You can't lose your salvation. That's right. It doesn't matter how much wickedness you commit. Huh? It's not what I read. I don't read that anywhere. You know, I read that parable of the sower. And that parable of the sower says the same thing that I'm reading here in Ezekiel. It's the same gospel message. It says, but when the righteous turn away from his righteousness and committeth iniquity, you know, here comes the spiritual boot. When you turn away and you start practicing iniquity, and men can do it. I've seen it happen. I've seen men fall into grievous error and turn wholly away from the way of righteousness. They're not being sanctified and set apart any longer. They've left that behind. And the spiritual boot comes and they are booted right out of the kingdom of heaven because they've decided that they don't need to follow the law of Yahuwah, that it's not written on their heart. The spiritual boot, that's what it is. It boots you right out of his kingdom. And it's by your own choice. As I say, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of our heavenly Father is not a tyranny. Nobody is held in by force. He may never leave you or forsake you, but that doesn't mean that you can't leave and forsake him. It's by your own choice. Everyone that leaves his kingdom leaves by their own choice. They say, come on, spiritual boot. Kick me out. I'm ready to go back into the kingdom of darkness. And they're gone. And many of them still live under the delusion because they want to believe the lies. They're very comfortable lies. The law is nailed to the cross. Once saved, always saved. No one will pluck you out of his hand. But that doesn't mean you can't leave him or forsake him. No one is held in the kingdom of heaven by force. It's a voluntary kingdom. He's looking for volunteers to live in his kingdom. People that say, I want to live a life that's pleasing to you. And when you say that and you do it, you're in his kingdom. When you change your mind, you're out by your own choice. The same gospel message here in Ezekiel. But when the righteous turneth away from his righteousness and committeth iniquity and doeth according to all the abominations that the wicked man doeth, shall he live? All his righteousness that he done shall be not be mentioned. Ooh, you know, after walking 40 years in his kingdom, after many trials and tribulations, falling down and stumbling, learning how to walk and reach for his hand before I fall, still occasionally I may stumble, you know, I might start to stumble, but I've learned to reach for his hand. That's the way of escape. You know, from any temptation, all that temptation such as is common to man, reach for his hand when you start to stumble and just set yourself upright. Okay, I'm not going there again. You know, I don't like those heavenly spankings because they can be quite severe. And if you don't learn, you can land yourself in some pretty uncomfortable places. But it says, when the righteous turn away from his righteousness and committeth iniquity and doth according to the abominations that are wicked, shall he live? All his righteousness that he done shall not be mentioned. And all the years I've been storing up my treasure in the kingdom of heaven. And for me to think that none of it will be mentioned, it will all be forgotten. Ooh, that's a huge investment. I don't want to forget that. Store up your treasures in heaven where neither moss nor rust doth corrupt. But what good is it if you leave the path and you never make it? See, it's all forgotten. That's right. Your account is abolished. All the righteousness that you did will not be mentioned. It's all forgotten. All his righteousness that he hath done shall not be mentioned. In his trespass that he has trespassed, and in his sin that he has sinned, in them shall he die. You know, that's not to say that you may stumble, you may fall into a sin, because the scripture also says, here's your balance, the righteous man falls 7 times, but he gets back up 7 times. That's the difference between the righteous and the wicked. The righteous fall, yes. The righteous stumble, yes. They learn from their falling, and they get back up every single time. And that's what my life, my early walk with the Messiah, you know, was falling terribly sometimes, but getting back up, catching a glimpse of the prize that I fell away from and going, yeah, that's the prize. That's what I'm really after. How could I forget? How could I lose sight of the prize? There is no greater offered to any man in this life than what our Heavenly Father has offered us through his Redeemer, the Messiah. And that is eternal life and goodness. And what we become good. The evil men wax worse and worse. And there's only one way to get away from that. Evil men wax worse and worse. But those that allow the Holy Spirit to work in their lives, they get better and better. And you get to start liking it. You know, wow, I'm good and I like it. I want to be better. I want to be as good as I can be because it's good for me and I like who I am when I'm good. And the promise that one day all of the evil, all of the trials and tribulations and stumblings and fallings and temptations will all be washed away completely. And we will be good forever. And it will be a forever that will never be boring, will never lack anything, no pain, no suffering, no tears. It's going to be so good, and we are going to be so good that it's hard to imagine now. but he has revealed it to us. Though we can't see it fully, as it will be like when it happens, but that is the promise that our Heavenly Father has given to us. No greater promise, the prize. That's it. Eternal life, goodness, forever, and pleasures forever. We can't even imagine it. It has not entered into the minds of men, but he has revealed it to us, so we know that it is real, that our hope is sure. You're listening to Cross the Border. We'll be back after these messages. Don't go anywhere.